You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of Knights of the Rogue Republic. This is Amber, and I'm here with
Jade
and
Joey. Hello there.
Got a couple J's and an A.
Ja-ja.
We are a podcast of the Waltz Apartment Podcast family. This is our Star Wars focused spinoff show. And right now, we're talking all Mandalorian for the next, four more weeks, right? Because this was the fourth episode of the third season, so chapter 20 of The Mandalorian. And so we're at the halfway mark of the season, and it's starting to ramp up a little bit, I have a feeling. So this episode was called The Foundling, and it was written by Favreau and Filoni and directed by Carl Weathers.
Yay! I like those guys.
Solid episodes. Solid, right? You always, you know, it's going to be a good one. And got a little fan service. Anytime Favreau and Filoni team up, you know there's going to be some cool little nods in there to stuff. And they did not disappoint.
No.
So, all right. Opening shot, we come in on the Mandalorians just training out by the water. And then we come in on Grogu sitting around with what appears to be some little stones, but
looks like he's just playing with some rocks.
Yeah, he's just playing with some rocks,
you know.
And then picks one up. Turns out it's a little crab, hermit crab,
little hermit crab.
Yeah, it looked like it.
And then Den comes over and picks him up and is like, "Stop playing with these rocks. We got to go train."
Yeah. And I'm like, he is training. And then, of course, all of the little crabs get up and start scurrying away. I was like, see? He was using his force ability to talk to the creatures.
Honestly, I thought he was going to eat that crab, so.
It's hard to tell nowadays.
I know. It's like, is he going to eat it or is it his friend? I don't know.
I feel like it might be a little too hard on the teethers.
Well, you know? I mean, he wouldn't, like, eat the shell. I'd be.
Well, then how? What is he going to do?
I don't know.
Force choke it out and
just rip the crab from the shell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell with that little guy.
It's true. And so Mando goes into Dad Mando mode and is like, you will train in the way.
How is he supposed to be promoted from, what is it, ward to
foundling
to a word? Prodigy? No.
I don't think they've identified an in-between, right? Once you get your helmet on and you take the creed, and you're still young, you're a foundling. I don't know when you make the transition from foundling to, like, full-fledged member of the clan.
Yeah, because Mando said that I'm his ward, I give him permission. Mm-hmm. Which, I guess in this case, ward means protector. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, because a kid that said, like, well, how come he doesn't have a helmet? He's like, well, he can't talk, so he can't say the creed, so. But yeah, I don't know what's after foundling, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what happens when you watch it at midnight, I guess.
Fair. Yeah. And then he goes over to who we literally don't know his name right now. We'll get to that later. But the boy who we saw get his helmet in episode two.
Who took the creed.
It? Yeah. Yep. He took the creed. And he just, they're training with some other. And he beats that one. And then Mando walks up and it's like, you'll be next.
Yep. And they're like, what? Are you sure? Yeah, this tiny little guy.
He's too small.
He's got a name. It was in the credits. I'll look it up.
Oh, I know the name. It's Ragnar.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Ragnarok? No.
No, when I heard it, I was like, wait, what?
Nod.
But, yeah, so he's like, I'm his ward, proceed, and let the challenger pick the weapon, and Ragnar picks darts.
Oh, they were so cute. I was like, how is this going to work? And then it ends up being like paintball. I'm like, all right.
And then I thought it was going to be like little blow darts. First, I was like, oh, what are they doing right now? No.
Yeah, that's true, because they didn't call them by the name of the actual weapon.
Yeah.
They said training darts. So,
training darts. So it kind of makes sense. But then Bo's like, he doesn't even know how to use training darts.
Yeah, because Mando had to whisper, like, tell him how to use them. And she's like, you haven't even been training this kid. What the heck are you doing throwing him in the pit with the viper?
So then, you know, they start. Grogu gets shot once and then shot twice. And then Mando leans in and he's like, you need to show them what you can do. So then it's like round three.
Yep.
And then he just does a little flippy flip back and forth and then shoots him three times.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, and the kid had said something smart ass at the beginning, right? Like that he knows. Like he knows. He knows he's got this.
No. He said you can't speak the words unless you know. And he's like, well, I know.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, then this will be a lesson for you then.
Yeah.
Or this might be a lesson for you then.
And whatever I'm totally not shipping yet. Bo and Din, and a lot of people are.
Oh, no.
But when she goes and talks to Grogu and is like, oh, my father was the same way. I'm like, oh, yeah. Stepmom stepping in, you know, how I met your mother, Star Wars edition. So it's like, ah.
I don't know. I don't know if I can get on board with that ship.
It's hard to, yeah.
Not yet. It seems, I don't know. Bo just seems like an independent woman.
Yeah.
See her, like.
Agreed.
You never know. Maybe in a couple seasons I'll be on board, but right now
But we were asked earlier today about, well, can they, you know, hook up in the clan, you know, can they marry, and are you then not allowed to take off your helmet in front of your spouse if you're in the same clan together, you know? Yeah. And then that spurred us to talk about, you know, what we find out later, which more was around Vizsla and having a son, and like, well, then how did that happen?
I think as long as you keep the helmet on. sounded different. Or sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, it says you can't take your helmet off in front of anyone. So I would assume even if you're married to another Mandalorian, that would also count as anyone.
Yeah. It seems interesting.
I don't know.
Let's try to figure that out.
I doubt they're going to dive into that aspect of the helmet wearing. So
that's fan fiction.
Yeah. Not the right platform, Mom. Gosh.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you guys think it was weird though? I mean, the training was cool, but was it weird that they're just shooting at the water? Like,
yeah. What is that about?
I don't know. That just seems like they're trying to lure another gator turtle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Unless there was something out there that we couldn't see that was like a target moving about or something, like a training.
They're fishing.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fishing with dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah.
So kid wanders off sulking, right? Because he lost. And just like before, when he wandered off kind of a little bit to the side, when he got his helmet off.
He was in the water with the armor when that happened. Oh, and that's then right. It came shooting up. But that kid's got like, creatures of this planet do not like him one bit.
Well, yeah, he must smell really delicious. So get snatched, but this time by a raptor creature of some kind, which we'll get into speculations on here shortly.
Unidentified flying raptor.
That's all they called it, a raptor. So they take off after it in jetpacks, but because it's this big kind of dinosaur-y looking bird thing.
It can travel far.
With dragony wings.
Mm-hmm. Big claws. It's giving like pterodactyl mixed with undeveloped bird head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they take off after it with their little jetpacks.
And then like one by one they start running out of fuel and like land. And then Vizsla lands and he's all like, it always gets away. And then Mando's like right next to him. And then you see Bo-Katan's ship just
The one using her noggin out of the group. The one that's like, hey.
Well, Mando might have went to his ship, but Vizsla's all like, follow it on the jetpacks.
Yeah.
And he's the one who knows it always gets away. What's up with that?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, if you know your jetpack always runs out of fuel, like, I don't know, maybe take a ship.
Maybe not the best course of action, but who am I?
And don't train foundlings outside.
Yeah.
But
clearly it's a death zone.
That was a beautiful shot of her ship in the
Oh, I know.
It's kind of like that what they call like the Apocalypse Now shot. Mm-hmm. That they did again in The Force Awakens with the TIE fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the sunset. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Uh-huh. Nice little callbacks. Yeah. That's beautiful. So let's see. Bo comes back.
Yeah, Bo comes back. Reports. And she had like scouted from a high altitude of the creature's lair and like mapped out the terrain.
Has an idea of how to do the rescue. So she's kind of deemed the leader of the rescue party,
leader of the war party. Trademark. No, just kidding.
Yeah, right.
And so this is the part where we did a couple rewatches today to figure out what they said.
No, it was a little later by the fire, like after they were waking up in the morning when they said raptor.
Part. Okay. But this part is where the armor instructs Vizsla to go get his Shriekhawk training a group or whatever what'd she call it? Yeah, so it's known, it's a known, like, insignia, or, you know, like, the Night Owl for Bo, and the Mudhorn now for Mando. It's, like, the signia of the Vizsla clan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it spurred us to go, or Jade, to speculate.
We'll speculate that this creature is the Shriekhawk, but I don't know now. I'm kind of, but it's, like, nostrils kind of, like, are giving that shape of, like, the symbol for it, but I don't know.
And that was the signal for Death Watch, wasn't it?
Was it?
I thought it was kind of like a birdish creature, but
was that Death Watch's?
I know
the Clan Vizsla's, but I wasn't sure. I'll look it up while we chat.
Yeah, so it was kind of like in my first watch through. I was like, "Is that what that is? Is that what that creature is?" But they never referred to it as a Screechhawk, so I feel like if it was, they would. But it's also never been pictured.
It was later adapted by Death Watch, but it was originally the image associated with Clan Vizsla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a part of me feels like they might just, like, leave them unidentified, just like the turtle gator.
Yeah.
But then again, there's three of them that are now foundlings.
Spoiler!
Oh!
They haven't got there yet.
I hope everybody watching this has seen the show.
You're listening to a reaction podcast. There will be spoilers.
Spoilers alert. So the hunting party's made. Seven, including Bo, Vizsla, and Mando, go out.
Seven, a group of seven. So it reminded me that the very first season of The Mandalorian had a lot of episodes that were centered around old westerns. And the theming or the storylines or the shots that associated with a lot of those old favorite westerns of Lucas and Favreau and Filoni. So this one, when we realized there were seven people in the party, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is a nod to the Magnificent Seven in some way.
Yeah.
So I hadn't been really looking for those anymore after the first season. There'd been so much other stuff to like take in, but it kind of made me wonder if I need to go back now and rewatch season 2 and 3 again and start like thinking about, did they do some stuff there that I didn't pick up on?
Hmm. Yeah. I just been like a little kid with popcorn just watching. I've given up trying to figure out where the volume is and it real. I'm like, I'm done. No, it's just so crazy. So I didn't even think about Magnificent Seven. That's awesome. Nice catch.
So Grogu's disappointed. He can't go along.
Yeah. You're too young.
So the armorer kind of takes him under her wing a little bit. It's like, come on.
Like, she's like, come on, Grogu. The way she says Grogu, I cannot. Grogu. It's so cute. So then the armorer starts walking back into her little workshop and then
he's talking to him.
Just talking to him.
Making
about
him something.
Mm-hmm, yeah. She's forging an item. At first when she was forging it, it was like that circular shape that like was like the same kind of shape she was making the helmet for the little Vizsla boy, Ragnar, when he was getting inducted into the Creed. And so I was like, is she about to make him a little helmet right now? No. But I was kind of thinking that at first. Yeah.
They always start with a circle, I guess.
Apparently so. But so he starts getting like a little bit triggered.
Yeah, she's starting
from
to, like,
his trauma.
What was her line? The forge always finds weaknesses in the metal, something to that effect. And it's like,
yeah, something like that. But it was even a nice nod to the first season when she was doing Mando's armor. His memories are triggered when he was young. Mm-hmm. So I like that little connection.
Father like son.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we finally get to see more of the backstory of what happened.
What happened post he's just in his pod and these Jedi are getting shot at protecting him. And then we find out he was sent into an elevator and then that Jedi gets shot down and the clones are still shooting at him when the door closes.
Yeah.
I was like,
He's trying to get away. He's trying to escape.
So that kind of throws the Empire got him at that point theory out the window.
Yep. And then the elevator opens and reveals as the Jedi's, you can hear some of their dialogue as they're fighting off the troopers when they shove him into the elevator. Yeah. They say, get him to Kelleran.
Yeah.
And we're like, I was like, wait, pause, rewind. Like, who did they just say right there?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then opens the door of the elevator and boom.
There he is.
Here you go.
Jar Jar Binks. No,
Darth Jar Jar.
It was him all along.
So it's our old buddy Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks as a Jedi, which is not the first time we've seen Ahmed Best in this character. He did a kids' TV show, game show, that reminded me of, like, Ninja Warrior, but for kids.
Yeah.
And it's Jedi Temple Challenge, I think was the name of it. Anyways, it's on, like, YouTube, but it's, like, a little kid show.
Yeah, I tried watching it. I think I only got through two episodes. And I'm like, this is not for me. I'm not. Yeah. So,
but it came out like 2 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I had to ask a friend before it got confirmed. I'm like, so I'm just wondering, is he playing the same character or a different character? And it was confirmed it's the same character.
Yep.
Just canon now. And he's probably got the most badass nickname for a Jedi. The Sabered Hand or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Is, I guess, the nickname. I've seen that everywhere. I'm like, that is awesome.
Oh, cool. No, I read about how he designed the character, which I thought was kind of cool that he, they kind of gave him some liberties in designing the costuming and kind of some of the story behind the character. So that was neat. He's got this neat little, like, design embroidery on the inner tunic and the outer tunic, which kind of gives me the librarian vibes a little bit, but on like the next level. So that's pretty neat.
Because I guess he was, going back to the game show, like a trainer or really involved with the younglings. So it makes sense that that's why he was the one that showed up.
Yeah.
But
ties it in.
But yeah, when I saw him for the first time, I was like, I kind of like, Mace? Oh, no, it's not Mace. I'm a So I was like, all these emotions all at once, and so cool.
Yeah, if Mace survived, he wouldn't be ready for rescuing anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would have been an odd moment to pop up at the temple.
Yeah, it'd be a little soon.
He might be a little busy.
And I was never that Mace is alive. I mean, if it happens, it happens, but I've never been that on that theory, but
Jade's there for it.
I'm 100% there for it. You know how many Darksiders are thrown down a shaft, cut in half, electrocuted, and they survive? Come on. This is Mace we're talking about. And if somebody's like, oh, but he's on the light side. Yeah, but he's like right there, you know?
He's on the edge. That's why he's got a purple
saber. He's
on
the edge. Exactly.
It's a little gray.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So, Jedi Kelleran grabs the child and they fight off some more.
Yeah, he grabs the other Jedi's lightsaber that was shot down in the elevator, so he's dual wielding some lightsabers for better deflection of those clone troopers.
Yep. But handles four of them on his own pretty well, and then
takes off on one of the little bikes that the clone troopers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
clone troopers roll up on, and then you get some callbacks to Anakin shooting through Coruscant, going through
that tunnel
chase scene.
And I've never seen a speeder with a sidecar.
I know, right? Isn't that awesome? So I was like, oh my god, it's a sidecar. This is great. Yeah,
that was awesome. Clone gunner ships chasing them again.
Oh yeah,
that was awesome. Seeing them going through the city was so cool.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And then the callback to the mountaintop again. It's like we put all this money into designing this scene. We're gonna use it more than once.
I mean, might as well. Probably reused a lot of those cityscapes too. Yeah, so
it's like a city planet, and we're going through the same neighborhood every time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. we gotta make sure they know we're in the same neighborhood. So when we reuse some of these set designs, they know why.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun chase.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then they pull up on the floating platform with a Naboo ship. And then Naboo troopers right there during Order 66.
Yeah.
Yeah. Questionable.
And there's still Rocky a Naboo. Landing. There's still a Naboo senator on Coruscant.
Yeah.
That is played by Ahmed Best. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And I can see. I'm not throwing this out of fit. I guess I am if I'm saying it, but. I mean, I could see Jar Jar being one of those senators that was close with a Jedi. He was close with Anakin and Obi-Wan, obviously. But even visiting and hanging out with the younglings, because he's kind of young-spirited himself. So.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's just not random that there's a Naboo ship.
You know? Oh, exactly. There's some reason for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said we're meeting up with friends.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
You gotta realize where Padme is at this point. She's not helping the Jedi escape. She's worried about Anakin.
Yeah.
So who's the other one who would have access to Naboo ships?
Yeah. I didn't even think of that one either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
the plot thickens.
They escape on the Naboo cruiser, and then we see like two ships pop up. And they totally remind me of TIE Fighters.
They sounded like TIE Fighters at first, and I was like, no.
I was like, they do not already have TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
It's not, no.
But I forget what they're called, but they're the ones at the end of Revenge of the Sith that were kind of like the prototype one still, so.
Yeah. And so that was basically the whole flashback, and then he pops up back in the armor's little workshop.
And it does make you realize how much he's aged in that time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because all of a sudden he's got more wrinkled head, his little gray hairs are all poking up. Yeah. And so you can really see the contrast that he is aging, even though it seems really slow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the puppeteering, again, I can't get enough of, like, how good it is on Grogu. Because you feel his pain at the beginning his fear and his sadness. It's like, this thing's it's a Muppet. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Don't look at me with that sad look.
Yeah.
It's a $5 million puppet, but it's a puppet. Might as well be alive.
and it was cool that all the clones are still Tamora Morrison. Yeah. All the little background. I mean, just the details of
the chatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he gets his little rondelle. With the Mudhorn insignia gifted to him. Attached to his little chainmail.
Yeah.
So he's got his first, like, other than the chainmail. I don't know if chainmail is actually considered armor.
For him, I feel like it is going to be a pretty crucial part of his armor because he's so small. So he's not going to be able to have, like, large pieces of armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's always going to be small. Right. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just see that being made into a shirt now. It's like, oh. Coming at Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah.
All right. So then back to the hunting party, right?
Yeah. So they land their ship and they start hiking up the mountain. It seems to take them the rest of that day to hike up to the little cave section below where the raptor's nest is. And then they sit around a fire and
whip out some rations. Mm-hmm.
They say, we'll camp here until morning, and then we'll start climbing up at first light.
This is the part where I was like, oh, because she, like, leans over and whispers to Mando, Like, how do you eat with your helmet on? Like, she, that moment for me was like, ooh, she's like really into this now. Like, she's not just playing around and like, she's buying into the whole like cult thing here that we got going on.
I was like, I was thinking that, or even like, I'm really hungry, but I know I'm not supposed to take my helmet off. So.
Yeah. Like, how does this work exactly?
But that was pretty, that was a funny scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Vizsla kind of letting, showing her the like honor of being the leader of the hunting party and making it really clear that she is the leader of the hunting party. Mm-hmm. I think that was another like, all right, respect.
He's starting to turn, you know, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, you realize that it's his son at the end and you're like, she basically was the only reason his son is alive now.
Oh yeah. She definitely, he knows her big time.
And, no, I saw that scene. I'm like, okay, now I'm going to see a bunch of Mando mercs at cons now, like pretending they're eating and then separate to eat on their own.
Like, yeah, or doing the little helmet tilt thing that Mando did that one time. The little like, yep. Yeah, so they get their snack on, rest up. Next day, they start scaling the rock face. And I'm sorry, big Vizsla dude with all of that armor.
Oh, dude.
Come on. There is no way he'd stay at the front of that pack climbing that mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, why did he bring his big giant gun?
Yeah, like
he wasn't supposed to use a blaster anyway, so why did he bring it?
I think it's attached to his jetpack.
Well, I feel like you'd be able to detach it, right? Like,
I would think so.
Logistically speaking, it makes sense.
Yeah. But so he's packing all this extra, like, tons of pounds, right? Like, up the side of this cliff face.
I would assume that he trains with all of his gear on, so...
Beast mode.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he had that motivation, too.
Yeah, plus...
I mean, that's true.
So they're scaling it, you know, you just see some cool moves where, like, that one Mandalorian, like, uses his little grapple and then swings over, just that kind of cool stuff. And then...
You get to see some of their legit, like, skills between the training session we saw earlier and this, like, you really are seeing that they are skilled fighters and warriors, so that may come into play later.
So then they get up towards the peak and, like, they all point up there and they're like, shh, gotta be quiet. And then they get up there and they scale the edge of the nest, and, like, Mando does, like, a heat reading after they realize that the, like, big adult raptor isn't there. It's like, oh, there's a heat reading over there. And then Vizsla just, like, runs in there, and you're just like, what are you doing, man?
And how dark is this? Because you see a helmet.
A
foundling helmet. It's like, that's an eating kid.
Yep.
The question arises, how many foundlings has this raptor eaten? Because this seems to be a regular occurrence.
He discovers the nest is in fact not empty, and his son is not there, and instead, three noisy little raptors pop up and start squawking away, waking mama, wherever she was.
Yep.
This part cracked me up. The whole, like, spitting out the kid. She thinks they're complaining because they're hungry, and she vomits up like a mommy bird does the boy out of her mouth. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't do it.
My thing was, like, how long was that Vizsla boy in there, for one? For two, why isn't he slimy?
Yeah. And you know, mommy birds kind of chomp up the food a little bit before they feed it to the babies. So I was like...
Lucky it was Beskar, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly.
I noticed that too. Like, what? Why didn't he have a bunch of, like, drool and slime and
stuff, like, some kind of stomach whatever on him?
Yeah.
You would think.
I mean, I'm glad he didn't. It was already hard enough to, like, what's happening?
It was already pretty gross. So then she starts spitting him out. Then he gets dropped. And then, like, Vizsla flies, like, right into her mouth, and then she grabs Ragnar with, like, her talons, and then, like, flies away. I was just like, that's so funny. Why would he fly directly into her mouth?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it reminded me of when Din did that with the, remember? Why am I spacing on...
Oh, the big crate dragon?
Crate dragon? Thank you, crate dragon. Yeah, where he's like, okay, I'll just kill it from the inside out.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do, and then he got stuck because he's too big.
Yeah, because yeah. That Gatling gun again.
Yeah, that's why you brought it.
So battle ensues. Yeah, with the Mama Raptor.
They all start flying after her. I did think it was kind of cool how, like, when Bo was, like, flying up near it, she, like, got whacked by the wing. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it showed that this creature was pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, was kind of skilled at deterring Mandos from rescuing whoever she'd got.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they start chasing after it with the jetpacks.
Bo comes up,
stabs it a couple times. Yeah.
They try to work.
Drops Vizsla. He barely has enough jetpack fuel, or maybe his jetpack was damaged, like, get over to a little rock. Mm-hmm. And then they start grappling it. Grappling its wings, its face.
Is that when he says that it's my son or something, like, around this? Or did he already say that?
It was after he was rescued.
That's right.
Like, he says Ragnar when he's, like, searching through the nest, and then, like, after he's rescued and, like, Den brings him over to him. Ragnar's like, Dad! Something like that. Yeah. So, they save him. He starts falling. Den grabs him midair, and then the raptor, like, falls into the water, and then the big, like, turtle dragon
dinosaur, crocodile, whatever.
Whatever they described it as. Snaps it out of the water.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a nice little touch.
I was like,
nice
the Jurassic little, World like, moment.
Yes, literally. Yep, exactly.
And so Bo rescued. Loses her one of her podrins.
I think that's when he whacked her with the wing, right?
That's when he whacked her with the wing, and then she started tumbling down, and then she kind of, like, it fell off, made a little clanky noise, and then her shoe, like, kicked it, and then her jetpack reignited.
Yeah.
And, So
they head back.
Then the rescue is complete. They head back, and then you see Bo's ship landing, and then, you know, obviously Ragnar and Vizsla just come traipsing out, and everybody's like, yay! He's alive!
And then Armor kind of gives her props, like, well done.
Yeah, Bo comes over, and Armor's like, you've honored your house.
Yeah.
Well done. Something like that. What did she say?
Yeah, and then
yes, queen, slay queen.
Yeah, and I'm like, friends. Bo's like, this is the way. After she's like, you've rescued a foundling. It's one of the highest
honors or something
your house can receive, or something like that. This is the way. She's buying.
She's in. Man,
she's eating that up.
She's just fully in. And then mentions that she found more foundlings.
Mm-hmm. Three more foundlings for you, and then they all come traipsing out. The big, like, baby bird.
Oh my gosh.
And the Mandalorian with a steak. Like,
come on. Didn't you want this juicy steak?
I didn't think her ship could fit
four
Mandos, foundling, and three pterodactyls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her ship's roomy, apparently. Yeah. Or they were all squished in there.
So this is going to be fun to see.
Yeah, them getting
them learning the skills to tame the beast.
Yeah.
And future beasts, right? Like, I think this is the way to lay a little bit of the groundwork for the Mythosaur situation we know will happen at some point. So she's going to be learning those skills.
Okay, so then the armor realizes that her pauldron is missing. She's like, you need a repair. So they go into her little
workshop,
and she starts telling her that it's not going to be able to, like, be as technically advanced. Mm-hmm. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you want the Night Owl sigil on it? She's all like, actually.
Mm-hmm. Would it be acceptable?
Zooms in on the Mythosaur in the corner, all slowly, and she's like,
Yeah. And then, you know, we learn, of course, all Mandos can wear the Mythosaur.
Yeah, it is. It's a sigil for all Mandalorians or something like that.
Yeah.
Symbol for all Mandalorians, I think is what she said.
And then she starts getting a little comfy, and she's like asking some questions. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
what would you say if I told you?
What would you say if I told you I saw one? She's like, this is a great vision or something.
Yeah.
It's a great vision to have, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, you're very lucky. And then she's like, what do you think if I saw a real one in the waters beneath Mandalore? And she's like,
this is the way.
Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It's like,
Have you seen? No.
Yeah, well, it makes you wonder, what, like, did she already
know that there's, like, a mythosaur down there? Which would be weird for her to know.
I don't know, but...
But, like, then again, this is kind of, like, the cult version of the Mandalorians. So they probably have, like, a bunch of, like, tales or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And she is the one that's telling everybody this stuff, too.
Yeah.
And she did have a little vial of the water at the first episode, so it's like...
That's true.
I don't want to say... I don't know. There's, like... I still think Bo's kind of, like, wheels are turning, and she's... Mm-hmm. I think she's sensing that she's getting support of the Children of the Watch.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that the right one? I'm thinking Game of Thrones right now. Sorry. I'm thinking three pterodactyls and dragons and...
But, I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pair of them.
Children of the Watch, though. That is what they called...
The Children of the Forest is what they called them in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Children of the Watch...
But there is the watch in Game of Thrones.
That's why I'm all.
There's some time. Yeah, it's like
the wires.
Anyways, we know what you mean.
Yeah. I thought it was weird. I mean, it's not weird, but I think for a reason, three episodes in a row have ended with a shot on Bo.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
I'm
still like, when are we gonna see like. Some other characters popping in. I'm like, anxious for this.
I had a theory about that last night. So I was like, they could sprinkle in some other characters like midway through the season, give them like a little part of a story arc, and like people might go watch the Ahsoka series because of that. But what I think they might do is they might wait until the end of the season and tie in some of those characters. So if you want to keep watching that storyline that you might get a little snippet of, you'll have to go watch the Ahsoka series. I feel like that's what they might do, because then everybody who's, like, super into The Mandalorian maybe isn't super big fans of, like, let's say, a lot of the other series they've, like, come out with. Like, because Mandalorian seems to be their big hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be like, well, I want to keep watching The Mandalorian, so let's just go over
kinda
here
like
and watch
Boba
it like
Fett
this.
And Boba, you know, Mandalorian 2.5
exactly.
was half of Boba Fett.
Exactly.
So... Keep up kind of a pattern of...
I feel like that's what they might do, but don't quote me.
Okay.
It was just a thought.
Interesting. I wonder, maybe like a big reveal like Luke, where instead of Luke, it's Thrawn.
I don't feel like they're going to reveal Thrawn in this one.
Right.
I feel like, I don't know. I don't know who they might reveal.
I can't wait for Thrawn.
She's a Thrawn fanatic.
I'm a Thrawn.
Okay.
I think we're due for a Gideon sighting, though.
That is true.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. They're all comfy in their little clan in this horrible, rough planet that they're chilling out on. Like, what's going to spur them to like leave this little happy family they got going on?
Yeah, go to Mandalore.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Your kids are getting picked off by crocodiles and birds.
Right?
They might have a little, like, time jump again, maybe. Because, like, those birds are just little things. Yeah. Like, how are they going to, like, transport
those? A time jump could work, yeah. Uh-huh. Because then they have their battle birds already.
Yeah, exactly.
Battle raptors and...
Skip to the good part.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, I can see a little bit of a time jump. That could work.
Yeah, I feel like...
Grogu would have some extra time to work on his his skills.
Exactly.
Little dart skills.
Training.
Yeah. Get him a little... Oh, my God. that little arm dart thing. That was so cute.
Get him a little arm dart.
I need to get one for my... my stuffy.
Oh, jeez. Come on, Nerf. Get on it.
Yeah. There we go.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
All right. What else did we... anything else we wanted to hit? Joey, anything else to add?
I thought this was a great episode. This season is so good so far. I think the big thing is where the mix is the people that weren't really seeing how big of a significance, not necessarily who rescued Grogu, but that the fact that it was Ahmed Best. And so a lot of fans, prequel fans, and, you know, just know all the crap he went through without getting too deep into it, and seeing the fact that, you know, he's back. he did the Jedi Temple thing. Even before that, at Celebration in Chicago was his first appearance, I think. And yeah. At the 20th yeah. anniversary for Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in that panel. I was at the Star Wars Live stage. So there's still hundreds of people watching it. Mm-hmm. And the ovation he got when he came out, you know, was like 4 to 5 minute of it. Like, people were not stopping clapping, mm-hmm. even at the Star Wars, the live stage. I mean, it was going crazy. And, you know, it's like after like 20 some years of just hate and negativity, just to be like embraced again. I mean, I've seen some of the support he's gotten over the last mm-hmm. a couple days, and it's great. It's too late, in my opinion, because I've always been a fan of him and Jar Jar, so. Mm-hmm. But no, it was just really cool as a fan to see it, and I think that's what made this episode so great. Even though the story was also really great too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's unfortunate that so many actors from this franchise get so much hate. I mean, you think about young Anakin. That yeah. actor and his struggles with mental health stuff afterward and being bullied and like all it's just like Rose, right? Yeah. From the newest trilogy. Like I just don't get it. Like, it just needs to stop. And so I think that's what this next generation is starting to show and push back on, is that those few horrible, nasty, bullying, divisive voices are not going to ruin this fandom for yeah. people. Like, we are going to show people we love this, we love them, we love their characters. Like, we're gonna fight back even harder.
Yeah. So I'm glad he's like he's been got the fortitude to stick around this long, because if you know his story, he almost ended it because he couldn't handle it, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then was able to fight through it, have a family, then complete rebound. And like I said, the embrace he's gotten over the last couple of days has been amazing. So
oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see more of his character either.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we will. Right.
We have to
keep getting some tidbits to see what's happened.
There's got to be more flashbacks. Cause it's like, oh, they just took off in a Naboo ship.
Mm-hmm.
How did he end up in with the Empire? What?
Yeah.
Tell us now.
Exactly.
We want more.
Just give us a whole episode of
that. We want it now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You finished watching The Bad Batch yet?
Yeah, I'm caught up. So, well, we get two more episodes or
one more? Is it two more?
I think it's a two-parter.
All right. Probably.
And I guess it's the only people, like YouTubers and, you know, the people that get the free stuff, they got all 14 episodes, so they didn't see the finale yet. So I think it's a two-parter. And it's okay.
Weren't they?
Yes.
How many episodes did they say they were making?
I think 16.
16?
Okay, so we got 14. So two more.
Two more, yeah.
Two-part finale, kind of.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
I'm getting bored.
Yep. So we'll have to do one of our side episodes. Half of it will have to be on the finale wrap-up of The Bad Batch.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So.
Well, sweet.
I'm enjoying it.
Bad Batch overview.
Mm-hmm.
Man, all right. Well, so much Star Wars coming out. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know.
It comes in waves, right? Like, it feels like we get periods of not much.
Of nothing. Nothingness. And then everything.
Anticipation. And, I mean, what? Celebrations in a week? 2 weeks?
Two or three weeks, yeah.
And we'll get some teasers and some dropping of some...
They're definitely going to drop some stuff.
Stuff.
If they...
A movie, for sure, right? Like, we've seen it in some of the Disney... stuff for the plans.
Yeah.
And so we got to get some info and some tidbits on those future movie action.
Because I know they definitely want to announce one or two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first one's supposed to be 2025, so.
Yeah, which means it's already pre-production. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be, right? Like, yeah. These days, they're already doing stuff on it, so... Yeah. Give us something.
With Celebration around the corner, I'm sure there's already at least a partial cast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's supposed to be directed by... If it's this one, the lady that directed Captain Marvel, I forget her name, but...
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I don't know
director's names, but I like Captain Marvel, so...
I thought that person was doing the one with Jude Law.
No, that's the... what's his name?
What's the show?
Watts. He did the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And that's actually why he's not doing Fantastic Four, because he was busy doing the show, I guess. So.
Mm. Cool. So, yeah, a couple of weeks, we'll have some new speculative content to talk about.
Might have to do a celebration episode.
Yeah. Even though none of us will be there this time. Yeah. But. You know
what? Let's just all fly there.
We can watch the live stage. You know? So we'll get some stuff there.
We'll be there in spirit.
That's right. We'll be there.
I'll be watching all the interwebs. And the funny part is that when you're there, you're not like on the internet or social media getting the like drops that people are dropping. Like, ooh, I just found out this in this panel, because you're doing your own thing.
Yeah,
and so, true. Like, I almost feel like I get more information when I'm not there as it's happening, because I'm not there distracted by other things.
It's true.
I think the cool thing, too, is with it being in London, last time I was in London, I was working graveyard. So when I got home, was right when which was like at 5-6 in the morning, was right when the first panels were showing. So, like, the Last Jedi panel. So I was able to watch that before I went to bed. So it'll be waking up early now.
Cool. All right, well, thanks for hanging with us for chapter 20 of The Mandalorian, and we'll see you guys next week for another episode. You can catch Walt's Apartment Podcast on any platform that you find your podcasts, and we do a live stream every Wednesday evening across the social media platform, so follow us, give us a like, and you can join the cast members that make it to the live show, which has not been me very often these days, but I give it a valiant effort.
I'll be out once the football starts, so I gotta get in as much as I can.
So thanks again for tuning in, and may the force be with you.
This is the way.